The worst feeling is to get blown off by a woman. And I'm not talking about in that way. Rejection is painful. A lot of nice guys struggle when it comes to seduction. They don't always know how to approach a woman, how to speak to a woman that will lead into a romantic love relationship or connection. Now, for many guys, that because rejection is so painful, they stop talking to women, stop approaching women, and stop having that conversation where that can lead to something more meaningful. Welcome to the Nice Guy Show. I'm your co-host, Faisal Kokor, and I'm joined by Ari and Chuck, and we are certified No More Mr. Nice Guy coaches, and we're here to help you and support you to become the best version of yourselves. This is about three mistakes that we nice guys make when it comes to seduction. Now, nice guys really struggle with seduction. Ari, have you ever struggled with seduction?
Oh, never. No. I came out of the womb seducing women. Oh yeah. I mean, it's been a learning curve. I would say that historically, if you would characterize my seduction, or it's sort of the opposite of it, it would be tentative and kind of weak, shy, holding back, you know. So that's why, you know, if I had to pick just one thing that I wanted to get across, it's that it's important to be bold. You know, I think nice guys have a boldness deficit or disability even. It's just like they're constitutionally resistant to being bold. It goes against every aspect of their personality. They want to play it safe. They want to feel safe. They don't want to feel anxious. They don't want to say what their opinions are. They don't want to say what they want. You know, they're afraid of her reaction. What if she doesn't like what I have to say? What if she feels hurt? What if she feels angry? Because they don't want to feel her feelings, because it activates their shame, their anxiety. So, but the trap is, or you know, the rub is that women like bold. They love bold. They need bold. They need bold. So that you have to give them the opposite. You have to do the George Costanza. You have to give them the opposite. That's why I love that. We should give them a link, the listeners, to that Seinfeld episode where George does the opposite. And he starts being bold.
It sounds like there's a lot going on that the nice guys are missing out on. But I like that point of bold. Chuck, now you're married, and you're in a relationship, and you've been with your partner for over 10 years. Now, it's easy for guys who've been or are in long-term relationships to stop seducing their partner, and they don't have the same things that they did in the early days as well. Now, are you still considered a, you know, sophisticated or an elegant seducer? And do you repeatedly seduce your partner?
Faisal, my game is that I have no game.
Oh gosh.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that you continuously have to be doing. You have to be stoking the fires. You know, you have to create interest. One of the things I think that's really important when it comes to seduction, or when it comes to actually creating connection, is, you know, we create connection when we have a neurotransmitter hormone of oxytocin. That gives us that feeling that we crave of intimacy and depth and that kind of thing. And one of the things that oftentimes happens in relationships is when you're first with somebody, you get that huge rush and it feels really good. But then we do the same thing, because we got the rush last time, we do the same thing. And the next time we get a rush, but it's not as much. And then the third time we get even less rush. So one of the things that happens with nice guys is we fall into ruts. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. And so when it comes to keeping a long-term relationship alive, one of the things you really have to focus on is doing different experiences. Because when you do a different experience, that's actually when you get the oxytocin that happens. If you do the same thing over and over again, that's not going to happen. So I really focus on with my wife, you know, Thursday night's our date night, and it's really easy. And oftentimes, you know, we come home, we're at the end of the day, we're both tired, it's date night, and I'm like, where do you want to go? And she's like, oh, I just want to, let's just make something here. And I kind of, you know, or I'll do that. And then I remember, no, we need to do this to create the connection. And so when we go out, we try to go to different places or at least do different things. Even if we go to like the same restaurant, we'll do something different afterwards, because it's really easy to, again, to fall into that rut. And what you want to be able to do is create that connection. And the way you create connection is by doing new things. Also, another reason why we make a annual vacation a huge priority in our relationship. We save up, we both put $100 a week, excuse me, into our savings account, right? So, $50, because at the end of the, what is that? Anyway, at the end of the year, we have $5,200 that we have for a vacation. And so we typically, you know, last year we went and, you know, we went to Europe and we saw you, and the year before that.
Yeah, you guys came here.
Yeah. Yeah, we went
some
to
vacation. You saw Faisal.
We went to, I know, right?
he got some black trading.
But no, I think the point is that if you want to keep the seduction going, you have to constantly be thinking about creating new experiences so that you get that connection that continues to, you continue to feel that. It's a way to hack your own neurobiology.
I love that. You know, you're bringing some newness to it. As you were sharing something, you know, about, you know, when it gets, you have a Thursday date night, by the end of the day, you're exhausted, you're tired, and, you know, you still got to make that effort. And I was thinking, you know, that's quite common for guys because, you know, by the end of the day, our testosterone levels come down and all we want to do is just vegetate, watch TV, consume, eat food, eat crap, right? Because our testosterone is low. And this is why sometimes it's a really good idea to have, instead of a date night, a date morning. Maybe you go out and do something for a breakfast or something like that, because that's when you're, you know, as the caveman in us, is we're ready and we're alive and we feel more passionate rather than, huh, I'm just getting the really tired version of the guy. So a date morning is a really powerful way. Now, one of the things that I notice in my coaching practice is that I see, you know, nice guys really struggle. And you, like you pointed out, Ari, we lack boldness. And Chuck, you know, like you pointed out, that we need freshness. We need to recommit every single, you know, time into our relationship. I remember when I was young and I was at college. We just come back from college. I'm at my friend's house and another friend turns up and he's turned out with these two gorgeous girls. And my friend, average looking guy, a little bit overweight. And both of us, me and my friend, look at, you know, this guy who just pulled up with his two girls. I'm like, how on earth has he got these girls? Anyway, so he said to us, hey guys, do you guys want to go to a house party? And in that moment, I was really anxious. I was thinking, oh, house party, more people, friends. And, you know, me and my friend were both kind of like socially awkward. And later on, he kind of convinced us and we said, okay, cool, let's go. And he said, you know, this is a really posh house party. And the girl that was with my friend, she was already dressed up. She's dressed up in this really beautiful yellow frock and her friend wasn't. And she said, look, if we're going to go to this house party, we got to go back to mine. I'm going to need to change, have a shower, and then we can go. She said, okay, cool. We're back at her place. And my friend just casually sits down on the sofa, opens his arm up, and his girl is, you know, she's all over him. And we're thinking, how is he doing it? What's his magic? What's his trick? And in the meantime, the girl's going to get ready. And she looks at me and she says, I'm about to have a shower, and then I'm going to go in the bedroom. And then I just look at her and I'm like, okay. And she said, I'm about to go and have a shower. Then I'll be in the bedroom getting changed. I said, okay. And then she looks at me really angry. I didn't think much of it. 10 minutes later, she comes back out and she's got a towel around her. She's dripping wet and she's looking It's incredible, right? And then she said, I've had a shower. Now I'm going to my bedroom to get changed. And I'm thinking that, why is she just telling me this? She's already told me two times, like, you know, she's going to have a shower and then getting changed. And she's looking really frustrated and angry at me. And then she just turns around, walks away. And my friend, who's really good with women, he just looks at me and he just says, oh boy, you got a lot to learn. And his girlfriend just burst out laughing. And I'm sitting there going, wow, what did I miss? And that's the thing. When we come from such a logical place, when she's saying, you know, I'm going to get in the shower and then I'm going to get changed, she's obviously sending me clues. And I'm sitting there going, okay, cool. Yeah, you just told me. It's logical. And that's a problem. What I see a lot of nice guys do is they're so logical and practical that they miss the subcommunication. Looking back at it, and I'm like, how clear and obvious was that? And my friend, he just laughed at it.
Hear that story.
It's painful. And my friend said, he just said, there's no hope. He just looked at me going, no, there's hope. And so what did he have that, you know, why was she like spoiler over him? And like you said, Ari, she had that, he had that boldness, that courage, right? He wasn't the most sophisticated looking guy. He wasn't the most good looking guy, but he was bold.
If you're bold, you have a leg up on most men these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what most guys are missing.
Yeah, you can be bold every step of the way. You know, the first text, the first approach.
So how can guys be bold without being creepy? Because I think that's the flip side of it, of maybe assuming that everything means something that it doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
So, like,
been called creepy?
Have I been called creepy? I don't think I'm, not to my face, but
what did your wife say? You said about to say your wife.
I was going to make a joke, say that, you know, she asked me for the time and I thought she said, take your cock out. And, but no,
easy mistake.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because I think that that's the flip side of it, of making an assumption that, like, how do you read those tea leaves?
Okay, so when I've spoken to women, I said, you know, what gives you the ick? You know, that this is what women complain about. It gives me the ick. It's creepy. Now, my understanding is, and this is why I teach the guys in my practice, is that what makes you creepy is your intention doesn't line up with your action. Yeah, you're sitting there, you know you want to talk to her, right? And you know you want to say something, but you're just sitting there and you're just watching, observing her, and then you're playing around her. You're not being true. And what that does is it makes them feel unsafe. And I remember on a dating profile, and I took a screenshot of this. One of the girls says, she says, I find it creepy when men don't approach me.
Interesting.
Huh. What about you, Ari? Have you been called creepy? Are you a creepy guy?
I don't know if I've been called creepy. I've been rejected or turned down. You know, like that's part of being bold, is taking that risk, is that you might be turned down or rebuffed in some way. And you have to be able to accept that and withstand that, because it might even just be a temporary rejection, you know, in order to see how you handle it. So that is part of being bold, is not being so attached to the outcome, or being able to tolerate and accept her moods, her upset, and even embrace that's part of the chemistry creation. That's part of the connection. So, you know, I consider those all part of being bold. So you have to just continually tolerate that tension, you know?
I think also that boldness is really about, I mean, it's part of the leadership game, you know, that as men, one of the things the masculine does is lead, right? And so leading in boldness oftentimes is just me saying, this is the direction, you know, I want to take this. And I think so many times, you know, nice guys specifically, like they don't see themselves as the prize. They don't see themselves as, you know, they see the woman as the prize. And so they approach her as if, you know, and I try to, when I'm working with guys on dating, I try to help them turn that around and say, you know, this is your opportunity for her to impress you. You know, what is she doing to make you the prize? And if she's not trying to make you the prize, why are you trying to make her the prize? Instead, if we come to it with a thing of like, look, I'm the prize. You know, I'm a really good guy. I make good money. I look decently. I took a shower. Like I'm much better than, you know, a lot of the guys out there. I am a prize. And when we have that mindset, I think that puts us in the place of being bold. We can ask a bolder question or make a bolder statement when we see ourselves as the prize and when we take that leadership role in the date.
Such a great point as well. And it's so easy to put women on a pedestal. You know, that's, you know, one of the common things I see is that guys putting on a, you know, pedestal. And like you said as well, you know, I always say we've got to flip the script. Is, you know, it's very natural for our programming to say, will she like me? So we sort of flip the script to say, will I like her? So what we do is we start going to place of assessing rather than trying to impress her. You know, I've always said, you know, assess rather than impress, which, you know, makes a, you know, huge difference in our psyche. And again, but that requires a lot more deeper work, exploration, and then take women off the pedestal. And it's not something that, you know, we can easily fix by watching endless YouTube videos. And this was my point, was that a lot of times that because we approach life logically most of the time, that we're trying to approach seduction logically most of the time. And a lot of guys think that they can solve this problem by watching countless of YouTube videos and not getting out in the real world and getting that experience, because that's where you need that experience. And this is where I overcame my, you know, deficiencies when it came to seduction. Now I teach seduction. I teach, you know, like authentic connection and seduction, you know, for guys who've been in, you know, relationships. They come out from the dating world and they're going, okay, what do I do? How do I start this? You know, I've, you know, it's been like 20 years since I've been in my marriage and I don't know how to, you know, even talk to a girl. How do I talk to a girl that leads to something more? And what they tend to do is approach this in a very logical way. And so have you guys, I want to leave us with three things that, you know, they can do to better improve their seduction skills. So Chuck, you said about not putting them on a pedestal. Anything more you can add to that?
Well, I think going along with not putting them on the pedestal is putting yourself on the pedestal, so to speak, of like, I am a catch. I mean, you really have to switch your mindset to believing in yourself. And I think that comes from a lot of practice of self-love and, you know, living out of your own virtues and values, that you start to develop a real identity about yourself, that I'm actually a very good guy. And that takes time, especially I think as nice guys, because yeah, we have that core belief that says I'm unlovable and acceptable the way that I am. So flipping that script is I'm lovable and acceptable, more than lovable, more than acceptable, just the way that I am. And when we lead with that, you know, that's the confidence thing. And I think so many guys I work with, when I say, you know, what is it that you want to change? So many of them will say, well, I want to have more self-confidence. And I say that, you know, self-confidence comes with self-love. You have to treat yourself well. You have to love yourself as if you were loving, you know, your partner or somebody else, you know, that was important to you. So I think that really working on that internal game of I am You know, I'll say to guys, you know, if you, the way you catch a unicorn is you become a unicorn. You know, if you want the really great woman, you have to become the really great guy. So rather than focusing on trying to get the girl, try to focus on how do I become a really good guy? And then I think the attraction will start to happen more naturally.
Love that. Absolutely. Catching unicorns. Ari, what's your one message that you want to leave to the guys so they can be better seducers?
Well, kind of like what I was already saying, you want to be bold in your approach and you want to be bold in your ideas. You want to show your creativity. You want to show how much fun that you have. You know, give them all of you. That's part of self-love is really giving them all of yourself, your intellect, your sense of humor, your courage. That's what I want to really get across.
I love that. And you know, it's great to, you know, hear about, you know, when you go on the internet, a lot of the seduction that's out there, it's all pickup stuff. It's very superficial stuff. And here now with, you know, what I believe that seduction, you know, is about, it's more about working on your character, you know, like you were saying, doing the inner game and let that be yours. You know, seduction. And that's the principles, you know, I when I work with the guys, this is what I teach is it's your character. Let it do the hard work. And be in it when that does the hard work, yes, getting there, it's not instant. It takes time. And a lot of guys are impatient. Hey, give me all the, you know, chat up lines. Give me all the pickup stuff now because that's instant gratification. I want that now so I can get the result now. And a lot of guys I work with have gone into a place where they've done a lot of pickup stuff. They've gone on boot camps and then say, hey, I get this girl, but she's not a very good fit. You know, she's toxic and it creates dysfunctional relationships and I'm unhappy. I get the girl, then everything reverts back to, you know, my old ways. I'm really struggling with this. And this is the thing, you know, guys, we need to do a lot more work in order to get the results we want. So like, you know, Chuck was saying, and Ari was saying, we need that boldness. We need deeper work to do this. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. And guys, thank you for being part of the Nice Guy Show. Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like, share, and comment, subscribe to this as well. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, be sure to subscribe there as well. Check out our other podcast, which is podcast number 26, Taking Women Off the Pedestal. I'm your host, Faisal. Hope you enjoyed this, and we'll see you on the next one.
You've been listening to The Nice Guy Show with certified Nice Guy Recovery Coaches, Ari Graf, Chuck Chapman, and Faisal Kokar. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you can listen to our latest episodes and visit us on www.theniceguyshow.com. If you have any topics you'd like to hear us discuss, send us an email at support@theniceguyshow.com. Thanks for listening.